The lesson for the sermon comes from John 11, 25 through 27. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are gracious and good to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and we can celebrate your resurrection. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that we can do so through the sermon, that we can do so through the table. And Lord God, we pray that as we hear your word, Lord, that it would be profitable to us, that you would exhort us through it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I do want to wish you a happy Easter. I'm glad to be back with y'all. I think it's been like a month or so. We're here on Maundy Thursday and everything, but it's been a month since I've preached here to you. And so now we come on Easter Sunday, and we realize, right, that as you've driven down the roads, that everything's coming back to life, right? That you have all sorts of flowers on the road, right, or on the ditches. You have all these wildflowers coming up. Everything's green for a while, right? Then summer comes, and then it turns brown again, right? But for right now, everything's green. It's alive. And we love it, right? People, you know, get out on the side of the road, and they take pictures, and they realize rattlesnakes enjoy the flowers as well, right? And then there's all sorts of experiences like that. And so we enjoy living. We enjoy life. But Christ tells us in this passage that to live requires you to die. To live requires you to die. As we think about this Resurrection Sunday, we've gone through during Holy Week. Last week was Palm Sunday, in which everyone was celebrating the fact that Christ was coming in. They were laying down palm branches and clothes and everything on the road. And as I was getting my hair cut earlier this week, the lady who's cutting my hair, she says, "So how could people turn on a dime like that? How could people turn on a dime where all of a sudden on Sunday they're doing that, and then on Friday they're saying, you know, crucify him, kill him?" I'm like, have you not been on the internet lately? Right? Have you never been on the internet? It turns on a dime. But the thing is, we've gone through, we've seen Palm Sunday, we came into the upper room with Christ and his disciples as he instituted the Lord's Supper on Maundy Thursday, and we heard that command that we're to love one another, and that in fact people will know that we are Christians because we have in fact loved each other as Christ loved us. And then we go through Good Friday, in which we had the service in which we remember that the reason that the cross is there is because of our sin. The reason Christ died was because we sinned. And that Christ, in fact, went willingly to the cross. He went willingly to the cross so to pay the debt that we could not pay, to redeem us, to ransom us. And so now, as was read just a moment ago, we've come to the empty tomb. But it's interesting that Jesus here, as we go back, and the Gospel of John is this interesting gospel because, in many ways, the Gospel of John is helping to explain what's happening in the other Gospels. Other Gospels have a lot more events that happen in Christ's life. But John, he's unpacking a lot of the things and help us to understand precisely what they mean. And here, Christ is looking ahead to his own resurrection, but he's doing so through the death of Lazarus. That Lazarus has died, and now it's 4 days later, and he comes, and Martha comes out to him and says to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She knows the power that he has. She goes, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." So she understands, to some extent, who Christ is and the power that Christ has. And Jesus said to her in verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection the last day." And so Jesus is saying, you know, you don't quite understand. You don't realize the fullness of what I'm about to tell you. So he tells her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now we live through the resurrection. We live through the resurrection. It's interesting. He doesn't just say, "I am the resurrection," and stops there. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Resurrection and the life. He does not just say, I'm the resurrection, as if he'd raise the dead and then allow them to live however they wanted. No, he's saying, the resurrection is a profoundly new and different life. The resurrection brings us life, and it is the life that we live as new people. C.S. Lewis, at the end of his book, Mere Christianity, wrote, how monotonously alike are all the great tyrants and conquerors, and you could add in, and cult leaders, and suburban moms, and philanderers, and porn addicts, and drunks, and drug addicts, and fill in whatever blank you want. How monotonously alike they've all been. How gloriously different are the saints. How gloriously different are the saints. This is because the saints have been given a new life through the resurrection. They've been given a new life through the resurrection. Sin leads to sameness. Sin leads to sameness. This is why people, they have to constantly try to get a new fix. Right? It's not just enough to go get drunk. It's now they have to add some drugs into it. It's not just enough to look at porn. Now they have to look at something else. It's not just enough. So they always have to add something else because it's the same. I used to listen to this. Y'all think I'm a weird guy. I enjoy learning about cults, right? Not because I want to be a leader of one, right? But it's interesting. But what I learned is the result's always the same. It's just interesting. It's like the same, it's the same story, just a different day. It's always the same. But when you read and you go through and you read the lives of Christians and you read how Christ changed them, they all have this new life, and it's brought from one source, it's through the resurrection. There's this guy named Adrian, and he was this Roman leader. He's this Roman soldier, and he was in charge of rounding up all the Christians in this one particular district. And he's rounding them up, and none of them are running away, and they're all willingly going to their deaths. And he grabs one of them out of the line and says, Why aren't y'all hooping and hollering, crying, screaming, trying to get away? And the guy said, well, our Lord did the same for us. How could we do any different? How could we run away from death when our Lord didn't, for our sake? And he shared the gospel with Adrian. And then Adrian hopped in line. And Adrian wound his way through the line, and he comes before the judge, who is his buddy, and he goes, Adrian, what's happening here? Why'd you get in line? He goes, well, I'm a Christian now. He's my Lord. And the judge says, no, there's no way. There's no way that this happens. There's no, you're confused, right? You're confused. So go home, think about it. Well, he goes home, he tells his wife what happened. His wife, it turned out, was a secret Christian who had been praying for him all this time. And the judge had told him to come back the next day, and he could tell the judge that he changed his mind. He came back that next day, and he said, no, I'm a Christian. And he went to his death. How gloriously different are the lives of the saints. Because it's the resurrection and the life. Christ gives us a new life to live. The resurrection puts to death that sameness that sin leads us to. It gives us a new life where we instead seek the glory of God. Whereas before we were all concerned about ourselves, now we in fact seek God's glory. And God's glory is infinite. Which means that the ways and the manners in which we can bring him glory, we can glorify him, are just as infinite. Think about all the different ways that Christians have used the resurrection that God has given them to do great and tremendous things. All the hospitals, the orphanages, the food pantries, the pregnancy centers, the prison ministries. Pastor Neil, if you didn't know, he goes to the prisons and speaks in the prisons. All of those are because the resurrection brings life. And it brings a new life. It transforms us. This is why Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He is bringing us into a life in which we truly live. When people sin, they think that they're living. When people sin, they think that they're living. It's kind of like, have you ever seen the videos on YouTube? On social media, where it shows, it'll be some social media influencer, and they go to some place, and it's all nice and pristine, and it all looks very, they have a nice filter on there where the colors are all nice, and they show you that actually what it looks like there, and it's super crowded. It just happened to be that they went on one day where it wasn't. People try to, sin makes our life, we wanted to make it look like the nice life. But in fact, it's just fake. Some filters have been propped over it, all those sort of things. But Christ gives us true life. And so this morning, we're celebrating, glorying in the fact that Christ rose from the dead, that he conquered death and sin, and we're glorying in the fact that we are truly alive through what Jesus has done. Through what Jesus has done. And we live through death. It's really strange. It's really strange. We get this life because we die. So this passage, Lazarus is physically dead in the tomb, and Jesus has waited 4 days to come to see him, I think in part to prove to everyone that he was really dead. He was really dead. There couldn't be any like, well, no, he passed out, and he's, you know, he fainted, and he's in there. No, he was really and truly dead. And in fact, I can't remember if it was Mary or Martha, they said, well, we can't open the tomb because the tomb will, it'll smell. Because the body has started to decompose. But Jesus says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is the hope of every Christian funeral. When the deceased is in Christ, though he die, yet shall he live. We know that our loved one, our friend, our brother, or sister lives with Christ and will receive resurrection on the last day. So if you've had loved ones who've died in Christ this year, this is the hope. This is what we get to remember at Easter. The fact that they are not just in the ground, but they are in fact with Christ. And they're receiving, they are going into what they've been promised. That they are in fact living. So we know that our loved one, our friend, whoever it is, that they're with Christ and that they will receive resurrection on the last day. Because though they die, yet he shall live. But that's not all. Each one of us to live in Christ has to die. It's interesting how much of the Bible revolves around death, isn't it? Like the book of Leviticus, it's about death. It's about how you have to die. Well, you don't actually have to die, right? An animal dies in your place. Okay? Because something, because of sin, has to die. That's what the requirement is. If something, if you have sinned, something, someone has to die. And Christ, for our sake, all those sacrifices were pointing ultimately to Christ, that he, in fact, chose to die for us so we would live. And so each one of us, to live in Christ, has to die. We must die to our sin. We must die to our pride. We must die to our greed. We must die to our lust. We must die because our sin testifies to death. But the way out of that death is not through ourselves, but it's through Christ. This is why in Galatians 2:20 it says, I have been crucified, I have died, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This crucifixion isn't something we do of ourselves. It's Christ working in us. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. But the way that we receive this life is through dying. And then we receive true life. Right? We receive the resurrection life. And each and every day we have to choose to live by dying because that is what love is. Love requires sacrifice, and sacrifice means death. The cross is a testimony of Christ's love for his people. It's not just some bling, right? Not just something nice to look, right? And when we wear a cross, and when you wear a cross, you in fact are saying, you're testifying to the fact that Christ died so that you could be made new. And so every morning we wake up and we believe on Christ and we put ourselves to death. And it's through that we live. Lewis, at the end of Mere Christianity, he continues, he says, "Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will really be yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else thrown in." Now what does this mean for you? For you. As we come and we think about the fact that Christ is the resurrection and the life, we need to realize he says, "I am the resurrection." He says, the resurrection, he doesn't say the resurrection is a neat theological fact that you need to have rattling around in your brain. He says, "I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection." So if you want to live in the resurrection, you have to be in me. You have to be in me. This is why when we confess, in a moment, we will confess the Apostles' Creed, which is an appropriate choice because the Apostles' Creed is a baptismal creed. In the early church, it was the creed that people would say before they were baptized. And baptism is the symbol of resurrection. It points to the resurrection that we have, that we have been, in fact, Christ has, we've died with Christ and we've been made new. And so the resurrection is not just some theological fact that we have to have rattling around in our brain. The resurrection is a person who came and died for your sake so that you would live again as he did. As he did. Because the resurrection leads you to a new way of life. Your desires change, your understanding changes, your motivation change. Everything changes because Christ puts you to death and raises you up again in himself. And this isn't just something for adults, children, right? This is works in every covenant child as they're growing in faith. Christ changes you, children. He does. He makes it where maybe you are prone to despair, that you think to yourself, "Well, no one really loves me. Mommy and Daddy don't really love me." But Christ comes to you and he changes you and he shows you, "No, they love you just as I love you." Children, maybe you think that you're not good enough and nothing you do is ever right. The resurrection shows you that in Christ that you've been made right and that you are forgiven of your sins. It changes you. Where all of a sudden, instead of being motivated to obey out of fear, you're instead motivated to obey out of love. Where you don't just obey because you think, "Oh, if I don't obey, Daddy's going to spank me." But you obey instead because I, in fact, love my Father. And I want to show him my love through my obedience. The resurrection, whether you were baptized as an infant or whether you're baptized as an old man or anywhere in between, the resurrection leads you to a new way of life. A new way of life in which you become more like Christ. And third, the resurrection, it means for you that the resurrection is needed. So resurrection is needed. You know, you can go, you know, if you go to like Apple Podcasts or whatever, right, you can find any number of podcasts that will tell you what the world needs. Right? The world needs more of this. And then you go to a different podcast and says, no, it needs more of that, not more of this. What the world needs is resurrection. That's what your neighbor needs, is resurrection. They need to be made new in Christ. Your coworker needs resurrection. Your lost family member needs resurrection. Your friend's marriage that's fallen apart needs resurrection. Your friend's hopelessness and depression needs resurrection. That anger needs resurrection. Everything needs resurrection because everything and everyone is fallen. It's fallen. And so we, Christ, the way he does this is he transforms it. He makes things new. And so our message as we go out into the world, as we go out into our neighborhood, to our workplace, to the library, to wherever, our proclamation to the world needs to be, it doesn't have to be this way. Believe in Christ and be made new. Be made new. Be resurrected. And so this means for us that as a church, you know, I'm a member of Christ Covenant Granbury, just right down the road, 30 minutes or so. And the folks in Granbury, the folks in Weatherford, the folks in Hood County or Somerville County where I live, or Parker County or Tarrant County or whatever county y'all live in, the message is still the same. That they need that to be made new. And don't give God short shrift on what he can do. Don't give him short shrift. Martha, come here. You know, everybody likes to pick on Martha, right? You know, don't be a Martha, right? Okay. But I always love hearing, right? She comes out and she meets Christ and she goes, hey, I know, I wish you would have been here, but I know you can do it. You can do it. Well, even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. What faith is that, right? That we, so many times, when we think about our neighborhood, or we think about our nation, or we think about anything else, we think that it's hopeless, that it's a lost cause. But Martha, her brother's in the ground 4 days. And she says, I wish you'd been here, but I know. You're here now, and you can do whatever it is you've been called to do. And so don't give God short shrift on what he can do. So if this is another Easter that passes in which you have a lost family member that is still lost as can be, and they're seeking to find hope and comfort in all the wrong things, and you just wonder, should I keep praying for them? This Easter is a reminder to you that God can do all things. God can do all things. If you're a parent and you're at your wit's end with that child, don't look at them. Just know it in your head. Right? And you're at your wit's end and you think there's no way that they'll ever change. I've been faithful and I've been faithful and I've been faithful. God makes all things new. And he can change that child and he can help you to be a testimony of Christ's love to them. So therefore, pray and live like you believe the resurrection. Pray and live like you believe the resurrection. Pray and ask. I love in some services before the Lord's Prayer says, now as we come boldly to the throne of grace, and the Lord's Prayer is said. The reason we come boldly is because Christ has brought us in himself, and so we don't come in our own merits, but we come in Christ before him. So go boldly before the throne of grace and say, Lord, it seems hopeless that this would change, but I know that it can. So change it. Change it. Ask the God of all grace to resurrect what it is that you see, that you know is not the way it should be. So this morning, the resurrection, right, is the beginning. The beginning. The testimony of the Christian church for 2,000 years has been that the tomb is empty because Christ is alive. And this is what the apostles proclaimed. And I always think it's interesting When Paul's talking about the Lord's Supper at the end of his little section of the Lord's Supper, he says, as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and his resurrection till he comes. And so this morning, as we sing and as we pray and as we come to the Lord's table, let's continue to proclaim to the world, to the culture, to whoever is here and whoever is out there, that there is life, and that life is in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are gracious, that you are good to us. We ask you, Lord, that you would help us to live in light of the resurrection. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.